Kilo Oscar 4 Uniform Lima 5 Edge Monitoring.
LP, this is KO4 LAO. Good morning, Alexander.
How are you today?
I don't know if you remember, but my name is Jim, and I live in Traveler's Rest.
Jim, let me see if I can... I don't know if I have you logged down in here or not. Let me go in here and check. I know there's a few of us that live in Traveler's Rest.
They have me logged early on. You were trying to get... he had a goal of 400 stations in your logbook. I don't know. Did you reach that goal yet?
In my logbook, I'm not sure how many have, but I was trying to get to 100, and I'm on page about 15 in my logbook, and I believe it's like page 23 that I reach 100 contacts. So, you know, I haven't really talked to anybody new yet, and so I haven't really been doing much logging. So, you know, if I really want to do that, I could probably get on some new repeaters and just start hitting some logs. But, you know, I just normally like talking just on the repeater, you know, just to have fun. I'm not, you know, I don't know how big I am really on logging if it's not on the local repeater. Because the only reason I log on the local repeater is to get to know everyone more. So that way I can... my goal was to try to kind of look up the call sign and so I could get the name, but that doesn't always really work because now I have a good bit of logs and it takes a while to find an individual log.
Are you on paper pencil logbook right now?
Correct.
Logbook programs out there, I'm sure if you asked around, guys would give you a recommendation, and, you know, even if you use QRZ, there's a logbook you can set up there. But I was wondering if you happen to have NY4G Ariel. He's a Traveler's Rest ham.
NY4G, his name is Ariel. For some reason, I'm remembering, but for some reason, I don't feel like I have him in my log. Aha, yes, I do have him in my logbook.
Pretty good at what he does, and so... gives pretty good advice.
I remember, you know, talking to him like once before, and is he the one that does, is he really into, like, doing on, like, you know, small radios and antennas and going up on mountains, or is that someone else?
Correct. He's very much into Morse code, CW. In fact, he helps me quite a bit. And if you haven't thought about doing it, you might consider learning Morse code because you're at the right age where it would be easy for you.
I've thought about learning Morse code, and, you know, right now I've started studying for my general, kind of, and I need to get that done. And yeah, maybe further on I'll learn Morse code, you know. My goal is to try to kind of get my, like, general and then hopefully my extra and then... you know, and maybe then learn Morse code. I don't know yet.
Check out CW Academy. They run classes from very basic all the way up through really advanced, where guys are sending maybe even faster than 30 words a minute. But it's all free, and you just start with a class, and then you meet with them, you know, when you can. But I understand wanting to get your general, and I did both the general and the technical at the same time, so now I'm kind of eyeing the extra class.
So, you know, I'm excited to do more with the ham radio. You know, I just don't really want to stop a technician because it only limits me to, you know, so much, and, you know, I like to be able to do it all. So, that, I guess, with doing it all would include learning Morse code, too, and, you know, lots of other things. But I don't know if I'll ever get to do it all because there's still a lot to do. I don't think I've talked to anybody that would be able to do it all.
I'm ahead of you, so, you know, just choose one thing at a time, and remember, we do this for fun.
I really do enjoy it right now, and, you know, I've just pretty much been on a DHF, I mean, and, you know, and Tuesday I'm having another operator come over to help me figure out what's going on with my HF. I got an antenna up, and I have my rig here, but the only problem was I could transmit, but I couldn't receive anything.
Yeah, HF, did you figure out the problem?
No, that's why I said you're having somebody come over this coming Tuesday, and we're going to try to figure it out.
Right. Well, listen, I'm almost at my destination, so I'll say 73 to you, and look forward to talking to you again. But if you ever need some help with something, you can look me up on QRZ, and there's an email address in there, and I'd be glad to help you out if I can.
All right, we'll do. So, I guess I'll have to let you go then. And this is KO4 Juba LP, and I'll be clear after your final.
KO4 LAO clear. 73's to you.
Hey, this is AC6IW.
Juba LP.
My name is Jeff, and I've heard you on before. Congratulations on being a new ham. I became a ham operator when I was probably about your age, maybe like 8th grade or 9th grade. So what kind of an HF radio do you have?
A classic Tentex.
I've seen Tentex before and actually went to their factory before they were closed. I mean, a long time ago up in Tennessee, just because I was around there and thought I'd pop in and look at it. That's a very good receiver. Lots of people talk about how good they were. I've been a ham like 40 years, and some of my friends said that they like that receiver better than other ones, so that's really cool.
I like the way that, you know, like the older radios look, and, you know, you only have so many knobs on there, and I'm excited to use it after I can get it to receive.
I was out of ham radio for a while and then got back into it, so I'm all about radios with all the different buttons and computerized stuff on. So I got a Yaesu FT991A, but I also like the look of the older radios too. I started out with one called a Kenwood TS520S that had a couple tubes in it, and it was not digital at all. One thing you might look for, if you've already looked at it or looked at a manual on it, is the automatic gain control. Sometimes if you have that set wrong, it might make it to where you can't receive anything. I actually accidentally did that in this new radio, and I couldn't figure out for a day or so why I couldn't hear anything, and then I messed with it and realized I hit a button and didn't know it.
Well, what I did was I went through on the phone with the guy that that I got the radio from, and we went through, and he pulled up a picture of the radio, and he was telling me, try this, and we finally got it to where I could talk and he could hear me, but I couldn't hear anything really at all, and just, you know, a little bit of static and a whine on this that would probably be caused by just an open electrical wire.
Does it take tubes, or is it solid state?
Are you sure it is a tube? I'm not 100% sure. Well, yeah, 99% sure, yeah. Yeah, it is a tube, because when I got it from the guy, he told me it's the tube radio, I need to let it heat up before using it.
Like in the 520S that I used to have, I think part of it was tubes and part of it was transistors. Sometimes they use the tubes for the transmitter part of it. Do you have a manual for it?
I do, and, I've tried looking at it, and it just got a little bit confusing, so I just thought I'd just call up the guy that gave it to me, and, you know, since he was familiar with the radio, and see if we could get it working then, and because we tried everything, it just seems like something is just not working. Either it's something, the way I positioned my antenna, or something got disconnected in the radio while I transported it, you know, because it is a older rig. I'm just not sure, though.
What kind of antenna are you using with it, and can you hear anything on the antenna on any of the bands, like static or any signal at all?
I do have, like, I think it's a, what you call a, I believe it's a dipole antenna that, you know, has two wires coming off the side of this, you know, plastic electrical box. And, you know, I'm not sure exactly what's in the box. Another operator made it for me so I could get on there, and, you know, that's the same operator that's going to come over and, you know, see if he can help me fix it. You know, he has some of the equipment to be able to help diagnose the radio, see if anything's wrong with the radio, and, you know, and so on and so forth.
If you have, do you have anything like a digital multimeter or a multimeter to check to see the connections on the cable? Because I wonder if it might be something like a short in the cable or the connector on the end that might have done something.
I have a voltmeter here that it can measure resistance too. I just I have no clue how to use it.
How do those have where it'll check like the resistance and the there's usually a thing on there where it'll check the continuity. So what you do is, like, if you switch it to that and you attach the two leads on the end against each other, it'll like, make a sound. Like, I have one, it'll make, like, a beep, and it'll keep going like that. So what that could be useful for is if you could connect or disconnect the coax on both ends and then touch the outer part to the inner part and see if it makes a sound. If it does, then it's got to shorten it, and then you know that maybe there's something like that that's maybe the one of the connectors isn't put on the way it's supposed to be.
Well, I don't even want to try to take off one of the connectors because I don't know if I have enough knowledge to put it back on. You know, I haven't been in the hobby very long, and I'm still, you know, learning a good bit of electrical and, so, you know, I just wait till Tuesday. He can, you know, come over and he said he'd bring in all the tools, you know, that he'll need to diagnose it, and, you know, he'll probably, you know, we can probably try that if we need to.
You don't want to, and I wasn't saying take the connector actually off the cable. I was just saying, like, what would happen is if you if you unscrew the connector at your Ballon and at your radio, and then you took the multimeter and connected it to the center connector on the coax, and then the outer part that screws on. If ideally, it shouldn't make a sound at all. Like, those aren't supposed to be touching each other. But if they are, then you know something could have gotten messed up with the connector, and then he could help you with that. He'll probably do something like that when he comes out. I put the connectors on myself, and it's always like I feel like I'm not very good at it. You can, even if you don't want to do it, you can actually look up some YouTube videos or some things online where people show how to do it, because it's kind of a skill that you get better at with soldering and putting on connectors and stuff like that. And usually, I know I myself have messed it up several times and had to redo it and start all over again. But the guy that's coming out to help you will probably be able to do that pretty quick. And if you just ask him questions, he'll probably explain what he's doing. So it'll be kind of a good experience for you to learn.
You know, I'm excited for that because, you know, I just really enjoy learning more. And, you know, even though when I stop studying for the test, even for my technician after I pass, you know, the learning still doesn't stop there. It just keeps on going. And he has an electrical background, so he should be able to, you know, work on it. And just, I'm really excited to get it up and running and just, you know, lots, you know, the guy that, you know, let me have the radio, that was, and also I just really, what I'm saying, I'm really grateful for the operators that have helped me out and helped me kind of learn how it works and helped me get on the air and stuff like that.
Cool things about ham radio. For myself, I got into it because I had an uncle that got me into it and an aunt. I'd seen someone else in my church when I was growing up, maybe when I was about seventh grade, that had a ham radio station. I think my mom and I delivered food to him, was like Meals on Wheels or something like that, and he showed me the radios. And then my uncle got into it, or had been into it for a long time, so when my adoptive dad passed away, my uncle gave me the radio and a 80 meter through 10 meter multiband vertical. And then I grew up in California, and then two of his friends, they were older guys, drove all the way from like Arizona and Nevada, like a long way, to Bakersfield, California. We dug a hole and put in the concrete and drove a ground rod and ran the cable into my bedroom. So that's one of the things that's pretty cool about ham radio, that there are lots of people that are nice and encouraging and trying to get you where you need to go and help you with stuff. So it's cool to be in the hobby. How old are you? What grade are you in?
13 and in 7th grade.
I don't know if you know about this, but do you know about the where you can listen to the International Space Station?
Have kind of heard that you can do that. I'm just not sure how yet.
You can actually do with, if you've got 440 on any radios, you can even listen to it. There's a website for it. I think if you just look up, like, ISS and ham radio, you'll find a website for it, and it gives all the frequencies and what they do and how it all works. But it flies over a couple times during the day, and it only lasts maybe like 6 minutes. So you can like look up different pieces of software for, like, there's a couple that I have on my iPhone that show like satellites and astronomy and stuff, and it'll tell you when it's going to be overhead and what angle and such, and you can turn on your radio and sometimes hear voice. And if you have the software on a smartphone or your computer, you can actually receive and decode some of the slow scan TV images. Like, they'll send out like a couple pictures as it flies over. So and then if you can confirm that you talk to them on a certain time or whatever, you can, I think, you mail a self-addressed envelope, and they'll send you a QSL card from the space station.
Very neat, and you'll have to look into that. And so can you just do that with, like, a regular J-pole antenna or just a handheld antenna, or would you need, like, a directional antenna?
YouTube videos of people doing it with both, or with all the ones you mentioned. I've heard it, but I've not yet really made a real contact or received any of the slow scan pictures. Usually around the time that I'm trying to look for them, sometimes I miss it, or I don't have all the stuff set up right, or sometimes when they're flying over, they're sleeping also. So you can look up the times on their website that says when they're actually awake, because it's kind of weird, I guess, that have to have a set sleep schedule because they're flying all around the world, and so they're only active at certain times, and it'll tell you in universal coordinated time what times they're awake and asleep.
It's an important factor to keep in mind, because it sounds like it'd be fun and kind of complicated and more of a challenge to get a hold of them, and so you have to do more research and maybe give it a try sometime.
Not myself. I've heard it and received some of it, but I want to make like a real contact. Actually, I think that you do voice, slow scan TV, and packet. I haven't done packet since like the 1990s, but with a computer you can probably do that pretty easily. I just don't have the software for that, but I do have the software for receiving slow scan TV. One of the things that you'll be able to do once, if you've got a computer, and when you get your receiver working on HF, they're actually weather satellite images that you can receive over HF. It's meant for like people that are out in the ocean on ships and stuff, and you can, they're black and white, but you can hook it to your computer and see the images come in, and they'll give reports for different parts of the world. So that's kind of fun. There's a lot of different things with ham radio, with all the different things, modes and stuff like that. One thing you might look into too is, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it, but I want to. When they do field day, which will probably be around like the first part of June, you could go to, they'll probably have several different locations, and you'll be able to look at all the different kinds of things people do with ham radio.
Make it to a field, and that'd also be fun, you know, to meet some of the people that I've talked to on the air, and you know, just get to, in general, just get to learn more about the ham radio and how it works.
There's a lot of different things to it. Do you have a place that's very big that you can put up an antenna, or are you in like a more of a confined area, or an apartment or something?
I can put up antennas. Right now I have a 6-foot J-pole antenna on the roof, and just below it along the roof I have my 10-meter antenna stretched out, and you know, I do have some trees that I probably could string antennas from for HF. It's just I need a good bit of coaxial cable to do that.
For example, in the neighborhood that we're in, there's they have some restrictions about things, but we don't officially have like a homeowners association, so I don't want to like make anyone upset, but my neighbors all like me, so what I did is I've got a 268-foot end fed. It's basically like a big long wire that stretches out, and then I used an antenna launcher, so I shot it up 70 feet up into the air into a tree, and then so the wire goes up 70 feet and then across horizontally 200 feet through a bunch of different trees. I got permission from my neighbor, who he didn't care if I did it, and you can't even see it. It's so far up in the tree, it's a little thin wire. But that allows me to get out on HF all the way down to 160, like, pretty well. And it's not even really visible, and the neighbors don't even know it's there except for the one neighbor.
So I think our neighborhood has some restrictions, but I don't think any of our neighbors even really care, you know. So I think we're not even supposed to have, you know, like a boat parked in the driveway, but we do anyway, and nobody said anything. So I don't think anybody would say anything personally. We don't really have any really too nosy neighbors, and we do have one moving new neighbor moving in across the street. So you know, so far she hasn't really said anything about any of the antennas or stuff like that. I don't even know if she knows restrictions or not, but, you know, it's pretty laid back where we live.
More to the area that I'm in, too. So I've got that one wire antenna outside, and then I've got a 10-foot, 2-meter 440 vertical that's inside the attic, because we've got an attic that is, it's kind of crazy. It's got, in one part of it, it's basically about 14 feet high, maybe more. So it's really big. You could put another room up there, but it's just nothing. So I put the antenna up on something inside of there, and it's not even visible outside the house. And then I've got a 40-meter full-wave loop, so it's about 140 feet of wire that goes around in a big loop around the outer edge of the attic. So that works okay, but when it's in the attic, you pick up a lot of electrical noise from the inside of your house. Like, I've got a bunch of those Philips Hue remote control lights, and they put out interference and stuff. And so, but it's like with ham radio, there's always new stuff to experiment with and see if you like this antenna better than another one, or maybe you like one for one time a day or one thing, and you like the other one for something else. So there's also a lot of things online and books that talk about making your own antennas and how they work and all that kind of stuff.
I have my eye on trying to make a 2-meter directional antenna that I have, that another operator sent me some directions on how to make, and you know, I want to see if I can get the supplies and try to make it work, and I have to sign off here, so it's really nice talking with you, and hope you have a good rest of your day. And 7-3, this is KO4 QLP Kilo Oscar 4 Uniform Lima Papa, and I'll be clear after your final.
3's KO4 ULP, this is AC6 IW, 73s, and you have a good rest of the day. And it was fun talking with you, and I hope you try lots of different things with ham radio, and we'll talk later. 73s.